Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org. Hello, this is Michael. I'm reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Wednesday, March 18th, 2020. Front page. MC cancels graduation ceremony. Lecture classes, most labs, will be offered online. By Stuart Doreen. Midland College events, including its lecture series and graduation ceremonies, will not take place this spring, Board of Trustees members were told Tuesday. Midland College President Steve Thomas told the board coronavirus's impact includes the delivery of teaching. Thomas said the college will offer all lecture courses and most lab courses in an online environment. That move is expected to begin Monday for most classes, officials said. There will be some open labs for students to come to campus, but times will be limited in order to provide a safe and healthy environment during the COVID-19 pandemic. Students who have never taken an online course should refer to www.midland.edu/canvas, according to information provided to the Reporter-Telegram. Accreditation guidelines require some programs to maintain a percentage of face-to-face lab experiences, according to MC. For those limited courses, the college will follow appropriate safety, health, and hygiene protocols, officials said. Please refer to www.midland.edu/directory for contact information for Midland College employees and departments, according to information on the college's website. Many staff have access to video conferencing technology and will be able to offer assistance remotely. Not only will Midland College's main campus be impacted, but so will the Advanced Technology Center, Cultural Learning Center, and Fort Stockton campus. We are going to get everything online, Thomas said. There is a plan in place. We are just working on the details. Colleges also will be in touch with local school districts about dual credit courses. With CDC guidelines reducing the number of people who can be in the same area, Midland College also announced that the events will be rescheduled or canceled. That includes lecture series or fine arts events and Midland College graduation, which was scheduled for May 8th. Thomas said that those graduating in May could come back for ceremony at another time, including possibly December, if there is an interest. The board also learned the National Junior College Athletic Association canceled spring athletic season. Thomas said those students have or will be heading home, like other students, with the ability to take classes at home. Many college services will be offered online. The college asks that those interested refer to the top of the Midland College website, www.midland.edu, for more information about services offered, as well as continuing education programs, GED courses, testing, and English as a second language courses. For the safety of students and employees and visitors, communications should be limited to email or telephone as much as possible. Commissioners say all county employees will be paid during coronavirus. By Caitlin Randall. Midland County Commissioners voted Tuesday to ensure that all county employees will be paid if they need to take time off for any reason related to the coronavirus pandemic, including school closures. Employees will receive pay without needing to use accrued leave, commissioners said. County Attorney Russell Malm said commissioners wanted to pass the policy Tuesday while Midland ISD schools are closed because they might not have been able to apply it retroactively for employees who took time off this week. I think also they want to let employees know that they care about them and that they didn't want them to lose any pay, he said. The action passed by commissioners was all employees working for an unelected department head or the commissioner's court will continue to be paid without using any accrued time for any time off related to COVID-19. The motion was made by Commissioner Luis Sanchez and voted in favor of unanimously. It does not apply to the offices of elected officials, Mom said, because those officials already had the authority to pay employees as they see fit. The county is comprised of 27 elected officials and 16 department heads. As an elected official, I have the power to determine that my employees do not need to come into work for whatever reason because I believe it's in the best interest of my office, he said. This is basically putting employees who are not under elected officials on the same footing as employees who are underneath elected officials. However, Mom said elected officials are expected to follow suit, and he would be very surprised if any decided not to adopt the same policy. I don't think anybody anticipates that elected officials wouldn't do that, he said. Commissioners held an emergency meeting Tuesday to discuss concerns related to the spread of the coronavirus. There are currently no confirmed cases in Midland or Ector counties, but Midland ISD and Ector ISD opted to close schools for the next 2 weeks. Several officials and department heads spoke during Tuesday's meeting to express concerns about employees who needed to take leave while schools are closed. The policy passed by commissioners is in effect as long as Governor Greg Abbott's disaster declaration is in effect. That declaration is set to end in May, but should it be extended, the commissioner's policy will also be extended. The motion was left intentionally broad, Mom said, and could apply to someone who is in quarantine, tested positive for the virus, or who is taking care of their children while schools are closed. It will apply to part-time employees in addition to full-time employees, Mom said. He said part-time employees will be paid based on the average hours they work in the event they need to take leave. Mom said the policy will not create any additional cost for the county because the pay for employees has already been budgeted. That could change somewhere down the road if the county is required to pay overtime to employees who are working in place of other staff. As a general rule in the county, you have to request authority to pay employees overtime, and generally, instead of getting paid, employees get comp time, he said. They will not be requesting employees to submit documentation proving their circumstances for taking off are related to the coronavirus, Mom said. We're going to be trusting employees, he said. If it turned out there was any kind of bad faith, the court could come back and address that. Concho to slash capital spending by at least $600 million, Houston Chronicle. Concho Resources will cut its shale oil exploration and production spending by between $600 million and $800 million after oil prices crashed last week. The Midland-based oil and gas producer on Tuesday reduced its 2020 capital budget to $2 billion, down about 25% from its previously announced plans. The cuts will help the company strengthen its balance sheet and continue paying dividends to shareholders, the company said. While our hedge position minimizes the volatility of our cash flow over the near term, we are quickly adjusting our activity to ensure we execute a capital allocation strategy that creates value for our shareholders over the long term, Chief Executive Tim Leach said in a statement. Concho is the latest U.S. oil and gas producer to slash spending after a historic oil crash March 9th, which saw the price of the U.S. benchmark plunge 25%, or more than $10 a barrel, to settle at $31.13 per barrel. The price collapse, the biggest one-day decline since the first Gulf War in January 1991, came as Russia and Saudi Arabia said they would flood the market with cheap crude despite weakening demand caused by the novel coronavirus. Pioneer Natural Resources cuts budget nearly in half as oil falls. Houston Chronicle. Pioneer Natural Resources is cutting its 2020 budget in nearly half as crude prices slipped below $30 per barrel. The exploration and production company said late Monday afternoon that it plans to spend between $1.7 to $1.9 billion on drilling, hydraulic fracturing, and other capital projects in 2020. The figure marks a 45% reduction of the company's previously announced budget. Some $100 million of the budget has been earmarked for projects to source and move fresh water for its operations, as well as move and dispose of oil field wastewater. The company plans to cut the number of drilling rigs it uses in half from 22 to 11 over the next 2 months. Our balance sheet is among the best in the energy sector and provides us ample financial flexibility to manage through a period of prolonged low oil prices, Pioneer Natural Resources CEO Scott Sheffield said. Pioneer Natural Resources made the announcement at a time when many other exploration and production companies are cutting their drilling budgets in response to rapidly falling oil prices. West Texas Intermediate crude oil closed trading at $28.70 per barrel on Monday afternoon. A showdown between Russia and Saudi Arabia has created a global supply glut, while the coronavirus outbreak has lowered global demand. With more than 380 drilling permits filed in 2019, Pioneer Natural Resources is ranked as the fifth most active driller in Texas. The company owns and operates oil leases in the Permian Basin of West Texas and the Eagle Ford Shale of South Texas. MISD says hundreds of meals handed out on day one, from staff reports. Midland ISD Superintendent Orlando Riddick said about 2,200 total meals were handed out Tuesday as the district provides child nutrition services during a two-week closure of campuses around the city because of the threat of the coronavirus. Riddick said 500 breakfast meals and 1,700 lunches were distributed around the community. Midland ISD has 27 locations and is sending buses into the county to deliver meals to students in need. Riddick again emphasized that the children don't have to show an MISD ID or give their names when a meal is provided. He said in an afternoon address that the district will continue working on food distribution over at least the next 2 weeks. The other priority is putting together an academic plan for the 26,000-plus students in pre-K through 12th grade. Riddick said the academic plan being put together is about keeping students enriched around key subject areas. Riddick also said this can be done through high-tech and low-tech ways. That might mean a student gets assignments and lessons online or through a packet to be distributed. Either way, he expects families will have the resources needed to keep students working on that enrichment. It's not trying to bombard students with so much work, Riddick said, but keeping them in the mode and keeping progress moving forward. Notes: decisions have not been made about proms or graduations. Riddick said that because of recommendations to keep gatherings to 10 or fewer people, Tuesday's board meeting will be done differently, while still following open meeting guidelines. A virtual meeting is how he described it. Coronavirus briefs from staff reports. City announces coronavirus status level chart. The City of Midland has announced a status level chart regarding the coronavirus. This chart has been put in place for increased public education, awareness, and updated information regarding COVID-19, according to a press release. The chart consists of four levels for the Midland area: level blue, level yellow, level orange, and level red. The City of Midland is currently at level yellow, which means that there aren't any confirmed cases in the Midland area. Each level also includes information with preventative tips and recommendations for the public. The City of Midland is continuing to follow the guidelines given by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Texas Department of State Health Services. Free teen heart screenings postponed. The free teen heart screenings that were being offered on March 28th have been postponed, according to a Midland Health spokeswoman. The screenings were a collaboration between Midland Memorial Hospital and the Championship Hearts Foundation. For more information, visit champhearts.org or call 888-884-6945 or 512-900-3243. Car show has been postponed. The 8th annual West Texas BLVD Nights Car Show has been postponed, according to an email from the Midland Vet Center, the event sponsor. The car show was planned for Saturday at the Horseshoe. Permian Basin Honor Flight Trip postponed. The Permian Basin Honor Flight Trip, planned for May 7th through 9th, has been postponed. Plans are to reschedule it for later this year, according to a press release from the local organization. The mission of Honor Flight is to take veterans on a trip to Washington, D.C. to view the memorials built in their honor, according to the release. Midland and Odessa malls reduce hours. Midland Park Mall and Music City Mall are reducing their hours until further notice. The malls will be open 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon to 6 p.m. Sunday. Music City Mall's reduced hours of operations begin today, according to a press release from the mall's management team. Midland Park Mall stores may reduce hours even more, according to a phone recording. Bishop cancels public masses. Bishop Michael Siss has canceled public masses for the Catholic churches in the Diocese of San Angelo at least until March 31st, according to an announcement posted Tuesday on the diocese website. Also canceled are any church activities involving more than 10 people. Siss said that church members may gather in groups of fewer than 10 people for activities such as Eucharistic adoration, rosaries, and stations of the cross, providing those in attendance practice social distancing. For more information, go to sanangelodiocese.org. Affidavit. Assailant in Sam's Club stabbing admits he tried to kill family, from staff reports. The suspect in the stabbing Saturday night at Sam's Club allegedly admitted to trying to kill a family that was also inside the store, according to court documents. Jose L. Gomez III, 19, was charged with three counts of attempted capital murder with a $300,000 bond for each count, and one count of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon that has a $100,000 bond. Gomez entered the store where he attempted to kill the family, according to the arrest affidavit. A person, later identified as Zach Owen and a Sam's employee, intervened and tried to stop Gomez from assaulting the family, but was stabbed with a knife, according to the arrest affidavit. As Owen continued to fight with Gomez, his fingers were cut with the knife as they struggled for possession of the knife. Then Owen knocked the knife away and maintained control of Gomez until help arrived, according to the arrest affidavit. Gomez was detained by off-duty Border Patrol agent Bernie Ramirez until Midland police arrived at the scene of the incident that occurred about 7:30 p.m. Saturday, according to a previous Reporter Telegram article. While being questioned by a Midland police officer, Gomez admitted to trying to kill the family and of assaulting Owen with a knife, according to the arrest affidavit. The case has been turned over to the FBI, Mayor Patrick Payton said in a previous Reporter Telegram article. Here is a sidebar that accompanies the previous story. Fundraiser in place for Sam's Club stabbing victims. A Facebook fundraiser is underway for the victims of the stabbing incident that occurred at Sam's Club on Saturday. Reagan Hinojos created the social media fundraising item. As of around 1 p.m., he has raised $6,920 of $125,000 that was requested. The fundraising items includes pictures of the victims. The Reporter Telegram has elected not to identify them by name, as is typically the case with victims of assaults. A person can see the fundraising page by going to the following page, www.facebook.com/donate/24617504138851. The post included the following. On March 14th, a Midland father and his son were attacked at our local Sam's Club by a disturbed individual. This fund has been created for present and future recovery costs, such as medical, lost wages, legal costs, etc. Community Brief. How sick are you? Midland Memorial Hospital offers a nurse triage program, 6-8 Nurse. The program is designed to help people determine whether their health situation warrants a trip to the emergency room. Midland residents can call the line by dialing 686-8773. The program is free and available 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Local nurses are available to help you determine the best place to receive care for your situation. 6-8 Nurse can help you save time and money by directing you to the most appropriate health care option. Whether it's a neighborhood clinic, urgent care center, emergency room, or just staying home. EOG Resources cuts budget as oil prices continue fall. Houston Chronicle. Houston oil company EOG Resources is cutting its 2020 capital budget by nearly a third amid record low commodity prices. The company said Monday that it plans to spend $4.3 billion to $4.7 billion on drilling, hydraulic fracturing, and other capital projects in 2020. The figure marks a 31% reduction of the company's previously announced budget. The company, regarded as one of the most efficient shale drillers in the U.S., says it will remain profitable even with oil at $30 per barrel. Our business is more resilient today than it has ever been in the company's history, EOG Resources CEO Bill Thomas said in a statement. By significantly improving the economics of our premium inventory, maintaining operational flexibility, and strengthening our balance sheet, we are well positioned to weather the storms of low commodity prices. EOG Resources made the announcement at a time when many other exploration and production companies are cutting their drilling budgets in response to rapidly falling oil prices. A showdown between Russia and Saudi Arabia has created a global supply glut, while the coronavirus outbreak has lowered global demand. With more than 500 drilling permits filed in 2019, EOG Resources is ranked as the second most active driller in Texas behind Irving Oil Major ExxonMobil. Exxon plans to cut budget amid virus outbreak, low oil prices, by Sergio Chapa, Houston Chronicle. Irving Oil Major ExxonMobil is considering cutting its budget amid the global coronavirus outbreak and record low oil prices. Based on this unprecedented environment, we are evaluating all appropriate steps to significantly reduce capital and operating expenses in the near term, ExxonMobil CEO Darren Woods said in a statement, "We will outline plans when they are finalized." ExxonMobil made the announcement as other exploration and production companies are cutting their drilling budgets in response to rapidly falling oil prices. West Texas Intermediate crude oil closed trading at $28.70 per barrel Monday afternoon.
Hello, this is April with the Recording Library of West Texas, reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Wednesday, March 18, 2020. Obituaries, Billy Bob Oberg. Billy Bob Oberg of Midland, Texas, passed March 14, 2020 at Midland Memorial Hospital. Billy was born on August 7, 1929 in Turkey, Texas, to Frederick David Oberg and Ruth Eldorn Spinks. Billy was married to George Ann Hammock Oberg on December 22, 1949. Together they had two sons, George Randall, Randy Oberg, and Taylor Ray Oberg. He lived in many places, including Turkey, Kitty Quay, No Trees, Odessa, El Paso, and finally Midland, all of Texas. Billy enjoyed reading Westerns and watching them on TV. He was also a member of the Masonic Lodge for over 50 years. Billy was a veteran of the United States Air Force and was honorably discharged. Billy was employed by Texaco for over 20 years in various locations from El Paso to the Permian Basin. Afterwards, he owned and operated a private civil construction company based in Midland for 30 years. Billy is preceded in death by his wife, Georgianne, his parents, Frederick David and Ruth Eldora Alberg, his brothers, David, Dennis, Dean, Charlie, and Joe, and his sisters, Janelle, Maggie, and Annis. Billy is survived by his sons, George Randall, Randy, Alberg of Midland, Texas, and Taylor Ray Alberg of College Station, Texas, 7 grandchildren, 9 great-grandchildren, 3 great-great-grandchildren, and his longtime friend, Vita Pete Morris. Pallbearers helping with the service will be Carl Alberg, Brian Alberg, Clayton Alberg, Jeff Donnell, Reese Donnell, Cole Donnell, M. V. Farmer, and Tom Cross. A visitation will be held on Wednesday, March the 18th, from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home, and a service will be held on Thursday, March the 19th, at 10 a.m. at Ellis Funeral Home as well. The interment will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park of Midland, Texas. Services entrusted to Ellis Funeral Home. Dorothy Sue Miles Chamley. Dorothy Sue Miles Chamley, age 96, died peacefully in her home on Saturday, March 14, 2020. Born October 23, 1923 in Midland, Texas, Sue was a legend, an icon, a matriarch. Sue Bell, as her closest friends and family would call her, was a force to be reckoned with. She was classy, independent, a hard worker, sophisticated, and demanded respect. She was the type of woman who wouldn't be caught dead in anything less than an escada pantsuit and diamond earrings at the grocery store. She had style, grace, and a sophistication that was unmatched. Her favorite color was yellow. Her favorite holiday was Valentine's Day. And every spring we would talk about how we couldn't wait for the roses to start blooming. On Sundays, she would attend the 11 a.m. service at Wellshire Presbyterian Church in the third row pew. Unless, of course, there was a Bronco game on. She was a true Southern belle with Texas Longhorn blood running through her veins and a West Texas twang that soothed the soul. She read Sports Illustrated and ESPN magazine on a regular basis and could out-trivia even the greatest sports aficionado. She had a heart of gold who loved her friends and family with every fiber of her being. Her sense of humor would always catch you by surprise, as her witty remarks seemed to seep out at the most unexpected and sometimes inappropriate times. Sue was a long-standing member of Cherry Hills Country Club, 70 years, and made sure that her black coffee was served piping hot in a large Cherry Hills mug after dinner. And if it wasn't, well, you'd be sorry. Sue was present for Arnold Palmer's 1960 Cherry Hills U.S. Open win, where he staged the greatest comeback in U.S. Open history, erasing a 7-stroke deficit during the final round. Her legacy left behind the co-creation of the Hall of Champions, 2 hole-in-ones in 1968 and 1993, along with being awarded the all-around champion in both tennis and golf in 1980. Sue is survived by her daughter, Jenny, Mark Bayless, Conifer, Colorado, her 2 granddaughters, Lindsay Higdon and Tracy, A.J. Mitchell, Moundsview, Minnesota, and 3 great-grandchildren, Callahan, Boston, and Penelope. She is also survived by her niece, Susie Boldrick, Midland, Texas, her great-niece, Star, Boyd Bauer, Beeville, Texas, her great-nephew, Miles, Lori Boldrick, Midland, Texas, great-niece, Kelly, Ben Barber, Richmond, Virginia, and her great-great-nieces and nephews, Walker, Katie, and Jackson Bauer, Hayden and Blakeney Boldrick, and Boldrick and Crawford Barber. Sue was preceded in death by her husband, Howard, her brother, Jay, who died in World War II, and her sister, Margaret Spook Starr, all of whom she will be laid to rest next to in Midland, Texas. As all of this is just a drop in the bucket of Sue's 96 years on this earth, we celebrate her legacy as a wife, sister, mother, daughter, grandmama, great-grandmama, aunt, great-aunt, and great-great-aunt. Burial services will be held in Midland, Texas, and a celebration of Sue's life will be held in Denver, Colorado. Both dates, times, and locations will be provided at a later date. Death Notices. Tommy Eugene Acheson. Tommy Eugene Acheson, 78, of Stanton, passed away Sunday, March 15, 2020. Memorial services will be 10 o'clock Saturday, March 28, 2020, at the Evergreen Cemetery Chapel. Interment will follow at Evergreen Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction of Gilbreth Funeral Home. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Odessa American for Wednesday, March 18th. Churches close and live stream services. Coronavirus wreaks havoc in spiritual realms, too, by Bob Campbell. Unprecedented in modern times, the coronavirus pandemic is forcing area churches to lock their doors and resort to social media to reach the faithful. Some had shut down Sunday while others were still considering the painful decision Tuesday, but spokesmen said the transition would be somewhat eased because their services were already being live-streamed on their websites and Facebook pages. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church held regular masses last Sunday and was awaiting a decision from Bishop Michael Siss of San Angelo about this weekend. Pastor Mark Woodruff said the crisis had been addressed at the Northside Church. "We told our parishioners that they should stay home if they felt ill or vulnerable," he said. "We live stream on our parish website and on Facebook at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church. There are other churches with that name, but ours is identifiable by the photos." Referring to the Black Death bubonic plague pandemic in Europe from 1343 to 51, Father Woodruff said, "This is virtually unprecedented, going back to medieval times, when they had to discourage people from being together and closed churches." Asked if shuttering the church would discourage people from returning when the crisis passes, Woodruff said, "I hope it will increase their longing for God and that they will be even more fervent when they come back. We live in a complicated world with the stressful moments and tragedies that come. I think of Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans and people in the areas with tornadoes that tear their cities up, but it's a part of life." Mission Dorado Baptist Church Pastor Del Troffenstedt compared the situation to the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918, which infected 500 million people worldwide and killed as many as 50 million. We haven't seen anything like it in 102 years, he said. That was the last time in the United States when the government asked the churches to close, and they did not meet. I served in Houston during Hurricane Harvey in 2017, and we did things there to connect with our members. I'm in contact with pastors from all over Texas. We're thinking our way through this together, giving one another advice and seeing what works for people. The Reverend Troffenstedt said Mission Dorado leaders would convene Tuesday night and announce their decision today if they would take a live stream only approach. He said the services are live streamed on Facebook at Mission Dorado Baptist Church and on the church's website at missiondorado.com. Our deacons, Sunday school teachers, and staff are personally calling members to check on them because it's important to keep our community during this time, he said. The First Baptist Church held its regular services last Sunday, but will be closed for at least 2 weeks, Executive Pastor Steve Crone said. Along with TV broadcasts from 11 a.m. to noon Sunday on KMID, Channel 2, of the previous week's service, and on Channel 72 of the live 10:30 a.m. service, the downtown church live streams on Facebook at FBC Odessa and on its website, fbcodessa.com, where you may click on the button at the top right that says Live Stream. We will wait and see what the recommendations are after 2 weeks, the Reverend Crone said. The First United Methodist Church was still considering its course, but it live streams its 11 a.m. Sunday praise service on Facebook at FUMC Odessa. We'll make a decision in the next 2 days, said Church Secretary Sylvia Watts. Crossroads Fellowship Administrative Assistant Mandy Olvera said her church's leadership was reviewing the situation Tuesday, but would keep live streaming on its website, which has an app to access its services, and on Facebook at Crossroads Odessa. Turner gives council draft of Declaration of Emergency by Michael Merlo. During the City Council work session on Tuesday evening, Mayor David Turner handed council members a draft of a Declaration of Emergency due to the coronavirus. What that does is it simply helps us as a council affect change in our community, Turner said. He said that if they sign the document, they could limit groups of 50 or over with exceptions. We can put in there churches are exempt, weddings, funerals, things like that are exempt. He added that after 7 days, the council has to approve that document again. The declaration is just a draft, he said. He said that the purpose of the declaration was to limit gatherings of around 50 people. This declaration hereby limits the size of gatherings to no more than 50 people and mandates the cancellation of all such gatherings until further notice, he read from the draft. A gathering is an event that brings together or is likely to bring together 50 or more persons at the same time in a single room or other single confined closed space, he said. He mentioned that they reviewed multiple other city declarations, including Lubbock and El Paso's. He added that in Lubbock's declaration of emergency, a gathering does not include public or private schools, licensed daycare facilities, places of worship, weddings, funerals, museums, as long as visitors aren't within arm's length of each other for an extended period of time. Transit spaces like bus stops, office space, hotels, residential buildings, grocery stores, shopping malls, outdoor markets, hospital and medical facilities and shelters, jails and detention centers. If we see gatherings of other than 50 at this point, we can't take any action. If in a week we say, okay, we're seeing events and gatherings, we can actually put in that the police can issue a citation. That is up to council, he said. Turner said that draft was just a guideline and advised council members and city officials to call him with questions and concerns. We're probably looking at doing something, I think, in the next week, he said. Right now, for the health of our city, we're going to have to set a limit and enforce that limit. the Odessa American tried to get a hard copy of the declaration that was handed out to council members and was told to ask for it via email. When at-large council member Peggy Dean asked about restaurants, Turner said that they probably wouldn't have to close, but there may be table distance regulations that other cities have implemented. He added that if the declaration of emergency is issued, they could talk about that further. Turner said that El Paso has declared, Lubbock has declared, Abilene is going to declare, San Angelo has already declared. He also said that Midland was going to declare. I think lack of information and lack of direction stirs up fear, he said. Turner added that he would be doing Facebook Live in English, and City Manager Michael Marrero would be doing them in Spanish. That meeting was the most information that has come out of the city. Very little information is coming out of Odessa and Midland, other than there are no confirmed cases of coronavirus so far. Both cities will not release how many have been tested and found negative for the virus sweeping the country. City of Odessa, Ector County, and Medical Center Hospital officials, as well as Ector County Health Department officials, will not answer questions but rather refer all questions to the city's public information officer. A news release sent Tuesday details that the Ector County Health Department has gone to appointment only, and only one person is allowed to accompany patients. They will not allow walk-ins at all. Call 432-498-4141 for an appointment. That number again is 432-498-4141. The release detailed that the number of people tested in Ector County will not be released, nor will the number of quarantined. Tests are being conducted by private labs as well as a public health lab in Lubbock. These labs are also reading the tests. The turnaround time is 24 to 48 hours for the public health lab in Lubbock. It also detailed that ORMC and MCH are not canceling elective surgeries. As far as public gatherings, city and county officials can make their own decision based on the community spread. Best practice is to follow CDC guidelines, and the CDC recommendation is to avoid gatherings of 50 or more for the next 8 weeks. The release also detailed that another news release would be issued in 48 hours. Homeschooling, a Family Affair by Ruth Campbell. Austin Montessori magnet teacher Eric Smith and his wife Alyssa have made the extended spring break due to the coronavirus a learning experience not only for their children, but others around the city and country. Their daughters Adelaide and Uma have been making educational videos on origami, with more to come. Eric and Alyssa are both educators. Alyssa, who was a Montessori teacher in San Antonio, is a substitute but has returned to school at Odessa College in the OC2 UTPB Teaching in 3 program. She also has her Montessori certificate. Eric Smith said origami is something he had wanted to try in his class of 3 to 6-year-olds this year, but they had not gotten to it. He added that the children had expressed an interest in sewing and origami, and in previous years, Adelaide has taught a variety of things to the students he teaches. She's taken a couple of art classes. They offered programs in San Antonio where they would teach things like origami and styles of painting, and she really took that and really enjoyed it and has always expressed an interest in it here at home, Eric Smith said. The video project began when ECISD suspended classes and he and his wife were going to video lessons for the students in his class. Adelaide was very interested in the process. I asked her if there was something she wanted to give a lesson on to kids, and she said that she wanted to do origami. She's also wanting to do some sort of art videos, Eric said. We had never done an instructional video like that until Sunday, he added. That was the first one. We all wanted our kids that are at home during this stressful time to have something that they could do and some familiar faces to turn to. A big quote in our house is from Fred Rogers, and it's, "Find the helpers." Whenever there's something bad that has happened, look for the helpers. And so we're hoping that the videos help people, people that are otherwise at home and seeking something to do. Currently, the Smiths are homeschooling their children and trying to offer resources to parents to use with their children. Right now, it's not even just the kids in a classroom, but there's kids all over our country that need activities to do, that need their learning to continue. What's been really neat is people have commented from all over the country or shared our videos that we've done. I like to think it's a way of helping people at a very different time, a challenging time, Eric Smith said. He said the family follows a specific schedule that they provide to other parents. A really big part of all this happening, a really big challenge, is it takes away our routine, so having a routine or schedule, even though you're not going to school, is so important for the kids, Eric Smith said. That's a big part of what we want to do is help establish a routine where kids are exercising and having some time for educational lessons and having some free time during all of this. He said this is absolutely a time to continue learning. It's a time when families really need teachers. Classrooms are a family, Eric Smith said. So it's so important to continue that interaction and continue that level of support, even at times when we don't have class. He noted that at-home learning can include things like washing dishes or cooking. Adelaide said it makes her feel good to know that other people are still learning because learning is so important. She said she has been making origami for a couple of years, and it was one of her favorite things in art class. Fortune tellers are her favorite. She wrote out several lessons, Eric Smith said. She wrote out several ideas for origami and leveled them by beginning intermediate and advanced. Then I just hit record, and she just takes over completely from there. Along with Adelaide, the Smiths have a daughter named Uma and a son named Asher. She is absolutely a natural teacher. Her siblings really watch and listen as well and learn from her, which is why our youngest one, Uma, decided to make videos like that, he said. Uma also is making origami videos. I felt proud because I'm just proud, Adelaide said of her efforts. She also wants to make videos on Mongo, a type of anime, and reading. Adelaide said she's enjoying being homeschooled right now. I really like the way we get to choose what we want to do, instead of having things that have to be finished by the end of the week, she said. Her mother also enjoys it. I love it. It gives me a really unique opportunity to get to know them in a unique way, other than just a parent. I know Eric and I are in a kind of unique situation, given that we're both teachers and have the time and training to do this. Also, I think there's so much more to being with kids at home than just the academic of homeschool. Giving kids the opportunity to be successful at home can look like having them help with chores and teaching them life skills. In the Montessori classroom, we call it practical life skills because they are skills that everybody needs to know to be in the world and to take care of themselves. These are things that help children not only to develop the skill itself, like washing a dish or learning how to fold laundry, but they get a sense of accomplishment and confidence that comes from being able to do those skills, Alyssa Smith said. Just being at home, being with the children, and listening to their needs is a huge part of the Montessori classroom, and should be at home as well, Alyssa Smith said. Parents can meet the needs of their kids by listening to them first, she added. I think it's a really great way not only access the knowledge of other people in the community, kids and adults alike, but really a great way to maintain that same sense of community while having we're needing to be apart from each other for a little while, especially for children with their classroom teachers. If that's an option for them to view videos from their classroom teacher or have communication with their classroom teacher, Alyssa said. She added that this helps to maintain the student-teacher relationship while school is out. It's a great opportunity for our kids to see things that their friends are doing in San Antonio, or who have moved from San Antonio to somewhere else. It's kind of an interesting time, and the contact and connection that we can give them to resources that might not have been available as much through this crisis has been pretty impressive, I think, Alyssa added. Eric Smith said he hopes people around Odessa feel supported in some way, just knowing there are people who want to help. If we all help each other, we can get through a challenging time. I think that's so important to convey to our entire city that we're in this together. We want to work together to get through this challenging time. During this challenging time, it's so important to have resources and people that you know you can count on, and those people that our kids know that they can count on, hopefully our teachers and their parents. There's a big connection there, he added. Ector County District Clerk's Office closes temporarily to public. Sheriff says suspension for jail visitors remains in effect. By Royal McGregor. Though the office of the district clerk will be temporarily closed to the public, the Ector County District Attorney said over the phone on Monday afternoon, the clerk's office will continue to work. Ector County District Attorney Bobby Bland said all of the courts are currently operating. Bland explained that it's important for the courthouse to continue to operate during the coronavirus pandemic. Repeated calls to County Judge Debbie Hayes and Justices of the Peace Missy Walden were not returned. It's important to continue to make sure the criminal justice system moves forward, Bland said. You have people in jail. You have cases that have been filed for people who are in jail or people that have been charged with crimes. We have victims that need justice. It's an essential part of government to make sure this system continues to work. We are here and we are going to continue to work on cases. We are going to make sure that cases are properly prosecuted. On Monday morning, the Office of the District Clerk sent out a public service announcement that detailed temporary adjustments to the District Clerk's public services. The Office of the District Clerk is reportedly taking precautionary measures to reduce potential exposure to staff and local community members through participation and cooperation with public social distancing measures. The office will temporarily close its doors to the public. The office will only receive or assist customers in the office who have scheduled court hearings on that date. All non-essential and non-emergency functions of the office, including the passport facility, are closed, effective immediately, and will remain closed until further notice. District Clerk's Office will continue to work and will provide the usual functions and processes related to emergency court orders and will issue any necessary warrants and writs as directed by the local courts. They will still be doing all of the functions that they need to do to operate the courts, Bland said. The courts will continue to hold hearings. It's up to each individual judge how they are going to operate their dockets. I know the judges are mindful of the public health, and they want to make sure it's done in a way that protects everybody while continuing to move forward with the legal process. Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths said suspending visits to inmates in the Ector County Law Enforcement Center remains in effect by the Texas Commission on Jail Standards until further notice. The suspension is reportedly in effect until terminated by the governor, or until the disaster declaration is lifted or expires. Griffiths said other than visitors not being allowed to see inmates, his office is running as normal. He did explain that doesn't affect attorney and client visitation or probation officers visiting inmates. We are moving forward with everything we do, Griffiths said. Everybody is directed to wash their hands every chance they get. We want to limit exposure to anyone who might have a cough. We are continuing business pretty much as usual. Calls about the Ector County Courthouse to Hayes and Walden went unanswered. Quick hits. COVID-19 cases. The Texas Health and Human Services website offers updated numbers on cases of COVID-19, confirmed cases in Texas. As of 7 p.m. Tuesday, there were total Texas cases 64. Harris County had the most cases at 10, and Dallas County had 9. There were no reported confirmed cases in either Ector or Midland counties by press time. In the United States, the CDC.gov site showed 4,226 total cases and 75 deaths as of 7 p.m. Tuesday. That was with 49 states and the District of Columbia reporting. The data includes both confirmed and presumptive positive cases of COVID-19. Visit the Texas site at dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at www.cdc.gov/coronavirus2019-ncov-cases-n-us. Abbott activates National Guard. Governor Greg Abbott on Tuesday activated the Texas National Guard to be prepared to assist with response efforts for COVID-19. This preparative measure will ensure that the Texas National Guard can assist in various forms throughout the state when needed. Healthcare workers and first responders who are members of the Texas National Guard are excluded from this activation so that they can continue serving the people of Texas in their respective fields. Local info. Listen to locals on the coronavirus on Basin PBS in a town hall live from the Anwar Family Studio at 8 p.m. Thursday. The program is to discuss the effects of COVID-19 in the Permian Basin. The one-hour live event will include educators, medical officials, and mental health advocates from both Odessa and Midland. The program will be live and can be seen on Basin PBS or via live stream on the Basin PBS Facebook page. Viewers can submit questions for the roundtable before Thursday's program via social media. During the program, they may submit as well via social media or by texting Basin PBS to 877-670-0432 or call 432-563-5728. The Odessa College Board of Trustees meeting for March has been canceled due to COVID-19 concerns and concerns for the health and safety of OC employees, students, and the community. Music City Mall has temporarily modified its operating hours to 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon to 6 p.m. Sunday. The Ector County Clerk's Office is now closed to the public, but suggested the following. Birth and or death certificates may be purchased by using the mail-in application at http://www.co.ector.tx.us/page.ector.forms. Blank assumed name /DBA forms are available online. You may mail these in with the appropriate fees, http://www.co.ector.tx.us/page/ector.forms. Marriage license will be issued by appointment only. Please call the office to schedule an appointment if your marriage ceremony will be held within 1 week. Copies of deeds may be purchased by visiting the land records portal, which is located on the website. You may also purchase certified copies of deeds via the portal, https://ector.tx.publicsearch.us/. Payments of fines, court costs, reimbursement fees, and tickets may be made online at www.certifiedpayments.net or mail-in payment if you have a payment plan or are paying in full. For further details, please visit the Ector County Compliance website, http://www.co.ector.tx.us/page/ector.compliance. payment plan applications and plea forms for traffic tickets only are available online with an email address where they may be sent for processing. http://www.co.actor.tx.us/page/actor.compliance. The office, a press release detailed, will remain staffed and will continue processing court filings through the Texas e-file system. All mail requests, including real property recordings, answer phone calls and emails, and other requests that are received via mail. They will also be available to assist customers face-to-face only following a scheduled hearing. For appointments, call 432-498-4130.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.